And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagmann Report for today. It is Friday, September 8th, 2017. We've got a massive, massive hurricane. Are you tired of hearing this yet? Now, I'm not saying that with any degree of flippancy. Is that a word, flippancy? I'm not being flippant. Obviously, everyone on the planet knows that we are... That America is looking down the barrel of a huge, catastrophic, apocalyptic, and whatever other adjective you want to toss in there, storm. Our hearts collectively hurt for the people who have been uprooted and have had to move out of harm's way because of these storms. But I do have a suspicion. I have a couple of suspicions. One, I do believe that what we're seeing today is a little bit more than just nature. And take that for what you will. I'm not trying to be conspiratorial. I think there's an element of judgment here. I think there's also an element of man's handiwork here. And I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about, I don't know, perhaps unintended consequences of geoengineering. Or perhaps the intended consequences of geoengineering. I don't know. Or perhaps it's just the way it's supposed to be. And it's normal. Well, a man in his family who is really in the path of the hurricane is our good friend, a fellow broadcaster on Global Star, and the CEO and founder of HealthMasters.com, Dr. Ted Brower. And he's on right now, and we're going to be talking about the hurricane, the preparations, among other things, of course. But I know that right now he and his family, although they live inland, just by the models, by the most accepted model of all of the spaghetti models, this is going to go right over his head. And my prayers are with his family and him, but my prayers are also to somehow, perhaps, together, all of us together, as he had said in his program, to mitigate the hurricane. Dr. Ted Brower, HealthMasters.com. Dr. Ted Brower, welcome to the Hagmann Report, sir.
Oh, hey, Doug. Let me start off with saying one thing. The joy that I have was not given to me by the world, nor shall the world take it away. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my attitude is not dependent upon what kind of storms are out there, or what kind of whatever they want to throw at us. I mean, I'm not worried about that. But I want to talk about prayer tonight. I want to talk about the powerful, effective prayer of a righteous man, how it availeth much. I'll go into detail on that because on Wednesday, we prayed on our show, and we had a real good prayer session on Wednesday on my show with Austin. We actually saw a hard jog to the northeast of the storm when we did that. And then, of course, it was taken right back on track right after that happened. And I wanted to let you guys know that prayer does change things. Now, what's interesting about it right now, I just looked at the projected track. It's the center of the eye is actually 4 miles to the west of me right now on the projected track, which puts me on the eye wall, on the eastern exposure. And here's what I've got to say to all of the guys that I believe engineered this storm. I don't operate out of a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I'm not going to allow you guys to put me into a fear mode. I'm not going to do that. I have a preparation mindset. We have been preparing for any type of financial, any type of global, any type of weather disaster here in Florida for many, many years. I wrote an article that said, should Americans store food? I did that several years ago. In fact, we're going to be posting it on y'all's website because I want you guys to know you don't operate from a spirit of fear. We don't have that. Christ did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind according to the book of Timothy. And we can't allow ourselves to be caught up into the fear mindset, which is what the globalists want to do. Every time you turn the doggone TV on, every time you turn the radio on, if you turn anything on, it's, oh, it's fear, fear, fear about this storm. Now, I'm not making light of this storm. I understand what a Category 5 storm is. I had three hurricanes basically cross my county back in 2004, Polk County, where this one's coming right across 4 miles west of me, if it decides to do that. But I want to talk real quick about the power of prayer and why the fervent, effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much, and why so many people have been praying, they simply haven't, the storm's still coming this way. Now, I'm going to say a few things tonight that may or may not agree with all of the listeners that are basically listening to the show, but I personally believe this thing was engineered. In fact, you can look up a patent if you'd like. It's Weather Management Using Space-Based Power Systems, U.S. Patent Number 201-00224-696A1. And the abstract on this, you can read the entire thing of how they talk about how they move and change storms and move them around. Now, if you don't want to believe the patent, okay, so I'm all right with that too. But here's the thing. When Christians pray, we have to have the unity of the Spirit and unity of the believer. Now, here's why. If Christians pray, and I'm going to be real direct with y'all's audience today, tonight, Doug, if you don't mind, because I was the same way with my show today. We've got to pray in, we have to pray in unity. In other words, on Wednesday, my audience and I prayed that the high pressure zone that's been established in the Atlantic Ocean right now basically turn into a low pressure zone and the storm make an abrupt, you know, easterly path back out into the Atlantic. And within minutes after the show, it made a jog to the east. Now, within hours after that, they cranked up the harp and they pulled it back. Now, also what they've done, and this is going to sound like hocus pocus to some of you guys, but for those of you who've been with me for all the years that I've been on radio, just stay with me for a few more minutes, please. What happens is when we know from quantum mechanics that what we think about, we literally bring about. We know that the Bible says, think on the good things, not on the bad things. Jesus said, ask as if you have already received it and it will be given unto you. And we've had all of these New Age teachers say, you know, visualize this and visualize that and visualize this. They don't even realize that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and what he believes he shall receive. And see, the word's very, very clear about this. And Jesus himself said when he was going to Jerusalem that he had not yet accomplished his goal. Guys, we have to understand that with quantum mechanics and what they've taught us now with the slit theory experiments, that you can literally create reality in this holographic energy field that we live in. The Sabbatean Kabbalists, the ones that are the wizards and the sorcerers and the druids, were taught this type of technology through the fallen angels thousands and thousands of years ago, even way back to Genesis chapter 6. The problem that we have in Christianity is this. Constantine in 323 diluted Christianity from a single-minded thought process of being a Christian to the bringing in of all these other gods to worship with Christianity, because he made it part of the Holy Roman Empire. It's basically a fraction of the power that we once had as Christians. Let me explain that to you. When Luther and Calvin came in and we had the Protestant Revolution, basically what ended up happening is, you know, we left parts of Catholicism behind us, but a lot of it stayed with us. Now, the biggest thing that I see with Christianity today, because we're fractured into splinter groups. We have Lutherans and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Baptists and just a plethora of other denominations that all believe certain things differently. The biggest thing that we have right now is that we have to agree in prayer. This is the divide and conquer strategy that the globalists have always used. These Sabbateans have used for hundreds and hundreds of years to break people up into individual units and groups into individual units because they're easier to control. Now we have these feel-good preachers that are getting on national TV. I'm not going to mention any names. The name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, boys. And all they want to do is preach happy, happy, happy. And they don't want to teach you about repentance. They don't want to teach you about praying properly. They don't want to teach you anything as far as what the Word of God says about walking in holiness. They don't want to talk about that stuff. All they want to talk about is, you know, blame it, name it, grab it, blab it, grab it, guys. They want to talk about their G6s or their G5 jets and how many jets they have in their fleet and all the other stuff they talk about. They have a Citation 10 they pay $25 million for. All of this stuff these guys are promoting. It's all this feel-good Christianity without any of the requirements that Christianity puts upon us as far as trying to do the best we can to walk in the things of God. The Bible says if we love God, we'll do it pleases Him. They don't preach. They don't teach anything about that. They don't talk about holiness. So here's the problem that we have. A lot of people are praying, when the hurricane hits Central Florida, please don't let it kill too many people. Protect them. Now, I don't even know what to say about that kind of a prayer. When the hurricane hits Florida, and all you see in CNN and Fox and ABC and NBC and CBS, they're speaking the same magical spell over us. When the hurricane hits Florida, when the hurricane hits Florida, until the consciousness of the people in Florida and the consciousness of the people on the planet start saying, oh, the hurricane's going to hit Florida. A few months ago, I talked to you guys in depth about the energy field and the magnetic field around the planet and how our thoughts and our intentions directly affect all of this because we're tied together as a group. When my listeners the other day, when we prayed, we jogged that, we showed physically that we moved that storm to the east. The problem is we're not praying as a unified group of believers. We have to believe God this storm is going to be cast back out into the Atlantic. We can't believe God that it's going to be hitting someplace else and causing more, you know, destruction and mayhem. So that's the problem we have. When we have half the people wanting it to go into the Atlantic Ocean, half the people wanting it to go into the Gulf of Mexico, and, well, I should say half, a third of expecting to go right down the middle of Florida, our prayers are rendered ineffective. And here's the reason for that is, you've got a lot of Christians, Doug, that are saying and speaking and believing the things that I'm talking about right now as far as this storm hitting Florida. These Christians are also praying. They're also putting out scalar waves when they pray, and it's not effective. And in the meantime, the world's witch community and all of these other guys are believing for this thing to go right up the middle of the state. And in some cases, they actually believe this, and this is going to blow your mind. Because we voted for Trump in Florida. Because Texas voted for Trump in Florida. I've seen that laid down as a possible explanation. Plus, we have to remember, this is happening on 9/11 again. 9/11 again. I mean, this is 11 is one of those real powerful numbers in the occult that's used in Kabbalah. And all of this stuff is, again, the Sabbatean Druidic worship that we have talked about repeatedly on your show. This trying to force humanity into this ritualistic, satanic lifestyle that they're trying to put in through Hollywood and everything else. So what we have to pray is, dear Lord, thank you so much. This storm, this Hurricane Irma, is being cast into the Atlantic Ocean. That the high pressure zone that's in the Atlantic right now is dissipated. All of the power of their equipment and technology fails. And this storm is cast into the sea, and no further damage will be done from this storm. That it shall not come nigh our dwellings. It'll be gone and cast into the sea. We believe this in Jesus' name. That's the prayer. When you start praying that it doesn't kill people in Florida, you're assuming and praying that it's going to hit Florida. You can't pray that way. You've got to understand that that's the biggest problem they've done, Doug, is they've taken our prayer life away from us. They've taught us to pray in the negative, not in the positive, and this is causing so much mayhem globally. And this is the biggest thing we've got to understand. Let's think through this again, guys. I did a show with you guys as 9/11 as a ritual, mass ritual from the satanic groups. And we went into detail on all the symbolism they use and how the number 11 is so powerful in what they do. 9/11 again. It's supposed to hit Florida on 9/11. Guys, this isn't a coincidence. We have one that goes into. We have a huge storm that hits Texas a couple of weeks ago. We have this one coming in now. We had the eclipse a few weeks ago. We have a huge 8.1, 8.2 magnitude earthquake in Mexico now that's causing massive problems in Mexico, plus another storm headed towards them. Plus, we had huge lights in the sky right before the earthquake hit. Remember what they're doing with the fracking. In the fracking, they're injecting barium and aluminum and strontium into the Earth's crust, the same compounds they use in the chemtrails. The same thing, to energize the Earth's crusts. So when they hit this with a powerful radio wave or Tesla transmission or a particle beam weapon, whatever you want to call it, it allows more things to rumble into shape, causing this, I believe, 8.2 magnitude earthquake in Mexico. All of this stuff has happened in the last few weeks. So we've got a situation here that we as the population of the United States probably because we voted for Trump, probably because we're trying to go back to righteousness, probably because we've had enough of this unbelievable satanic leadership in Washington that these guys are really starting to fight us right now. In fact, think about this for a second. I'm going to say this. Remember, we know that the vast majority of the leadership right now in Israel, basically, they're not serving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, remember, the federal vice chairman, he has resigned, Stan Fisher. He unexpectedly resigned this week for political reasons, effective October the 13th, Friday. He's leaving on Friday the 13th, which is another big day for these guys. Now, let's look at Stanley Fisher in Wikipedia and who he is. Stanley Fisher is an Israeli-American economist and the current vice chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve System. Born in Zambia, he holds dual citizenships in Israel and the United States. Now, listen to this one. He served as governor of the Bank of Israel from 2005 to 2013. He previously served as chief economist at the World Bank. The World Bank, now, this gets even worse than this guy. On January the 14th, United States President Barack Obama nominated Fisher to be vice chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve Board. I mean, can he not find anybody who's not an Israeli citizen? I mean, really, guys? A guy who has dual citizenship with Israel? Guys, personally, a lot of the leadership is corrupt in Israel. We know that. We've got to continue to pray and believe for Israel. We got to believe that the Jews convert to Christianity and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe all of that stuff. But guys, here's the thing. We've got to take a look again at the Sabbatean Kabbalist influence and who they are, what they've done. We've got to look at the Rothschilds and the Balfour Declaration that we've gone into detail with, and we have to look at how Benjamin Netanyahu has been accused of being a career criminal by many people, including by myself, repeatedly. See, he's under investigation again, and his wife's under investigation again right now. We've got all of this stuff happening to us right now, and so my question is this, Doug. I think I know, but I'm not going to tell you. I mentioned it today on my show. Who's controlling the heart? Who's controlling the sea-based radar domes? Who's controlling the Doppler radar energy fields? And what's going on? Because remember, guys, we gave our rights, our leadership to our government, which is completely corrupt, at least 50% of them, probably 70%, to the Senate and the House. They turned around and gave it to the world military industrial complex through the United States military. They gave it to the CIA. The CIA, as we know this very clearly, is a satanic organization, and they have given this over to the Sabbatean Kabbalists and these druidic worshipers who are trying to turn us into a D-Wave computer to submit to the D-Wave computer, which is basically a satanic entity. Guys, this is what's going on right now. The problem is, we have people that are going in the White House right now, Doug, that are praying and laying hands on Donald Trump. And they are praying in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh is being preached and taught in the halls of the White House right now by these preachers who are coming from all over the country to do this and to minister Donald Trump on a regular basis. These Sabbatean Kabbalists are going absolutely ape crazy that this is happening in the White House, because this last administration we had, this corrupt Gay Kenyon that we had in the White House, my opinion, was just absolutely doing everything he was told to do by this group of people. And suddenly Trump is at least kicking against some of the stuff, trying to stop some of the stuff, trying to basically fix this legislation with the Dreamers Act and all the things that he was left with by the Gay Kenyon. Guys, this is a major, major unfolding that we're watching right now. So I don't know what in the world these guys are doing with the hurricanes and the earthquakes and everything else, but I tell you what, a lot of things are coming to a head right now, Doug, in the United States, and everybody needs to be prepared and frosty. What do you think?
Wow. You know, I'm not sure what I could add to that. You covered a lot of ground there, Ted, and I agree with you. Right from the prayer to the people in the White House to the weather wars that we see taking place, the patent. How can you argue with the patent? How can you argue, you know, the factual basis of that? So everything from A to Z that you just covered there, I have to say I agree. And my only question, and this, now I'm asking this, I guess this is an open question, maybe even a rhetorical question, but you know, I'm looking at today's events, the events of today, Houston, the Texas area, still in the Gulf Coast, still, you know, recovering from that horrible flooding. We're seeing now three, an interesting number, three separate
That's
hurricanes.
Right.
And my question is, are we looking at God's judgment? Are we looking at, because of our failure to repent, our repentance failure, are we looking at, I mean, is this part of it? And I have to say, and it's interesting, Ted, because you said something. You said something and it just rang a bell with me. You know, witches, there are witches out there. And occultists who believe in these, and whether you believe it, we believe it, it doesn't matter. They believe it. It's interesting to me how, they believe that through their prayer, if you will, they can control, things like the weather. So, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there as well. It's, and I've gotten a couple of emails from actual or self-proclaimed witches who, or, they're, in fact, they didn't call themselves witches. One did, one used another term, and I'm not familiar with the term. But the bottom line is, you know, we can beat your prayer, is what they were saying. Our prayer can beat your prayer. Our God is stronger than your God. And I'm seeing more and more of this, by the way, just as an aside. But no, you're right. So go ahead and take it.
Okay, here's the reason that they're saying that. Because we're not unified.
Yes.
Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. They have no authority over me. They have no authority over me. I don't receive it. I don't sign for it. I don't accept it. They have no authority over me. The problem is these Christians that need to grow a set of testicles in the pulpit. I mean, and now people get all mad at me because I said that some of these pastors need to grow a set, and they'll be more angry that I said that tonight than they'll be because of what they're doing to us right now with the globalists. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop that mindset, and we've got to realize we've got to be unified. The reason that they do this to us is because we're scattered. We got half the Christians praying one thing, or third praying one thing, a third praying something else, and a third praying something else. It renders the prayers ineffective because these are real Christians that are praying that just haven't been taught how to pray. And so these witches, they have their little witch network they go through, and they basically pray the same thing. They visualize the same thing. They have their little seances the same way. And they're basically worshiping their God by doing this. The problem is that our God is so much more powerful. You can't even compare him. It's like a million times more powerful. But because we've been fractionated because of what happened in 323, because we haven't been taught the true power of what Christianity is, they've rendered us ineffective. And that's the problem that we have as true believers. You know, we can pray over our homes, we can pray over our houses, we can pray over our families, we can station angels over us, and we can be basically protected. The problem is, the corporate belief is not there anymore. I remember years ago, we had a really good preacher here in Lakeland. The guy was hooked on diet sodas, which is kind of sad, and it kind of trashed out his personality. But before he got whacked out on diet sodas, he was praying one time in the church, and he stopped right in the middle of his prayer, and he goes, "Some of you aren't in agreement with me." He goes, "You've got to stop that. You can't do that. You can't pull against me when I'm praying. You have to be in agreement with me, or you don't need to be coming to this church." He goes, "We've got to be in agreement as the unity of believers. Otherwise, we're not effective." And he was absolutely right with that statement. That's the problem with Christianity today. We got the name it, like I said earlier, the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys that are preaching that Jesus isn't even the only way to heaven anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're more of a motivational speaker like Robert Schuller was or Norman Vincent Peale was than they are a preacher of the gospel. And they need to stop saying they're Christians, some of these guys, and just start doing seminars like Tony Robbins, who in no way of the imagination I would consider to be a Christian, and I know him personally. I mean, we've got to understand who these people are and what they are. I mean, guys, it's just one of those things that we've got to stay together in the unity, and that's the problem that we have, because, Doug, they're doing everything to divide and conquer us. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with exactly what you said. And there is power in the spoken word. There's power in prayer. And there's power in unified prayer. And we have to understand that. I think as a body, as a Christian body, we have to understand that, and we can move. I truly believe for the first time, and Ted, I know I think you mentioned this on your show earlier in the week, and I'm not sure, but President Trump had declared a day of prayer. What was
that's
last
right, last
Sunday?
Last Sunday,
okay.
That's right.
All right. And when's the last time that happened?
It hasn't. And,
yeah. Right. So, you know, I thank God for President Trump, and I do believe that what we're seeing here is, in fact, we're starting to become unified, but we're not there yet.
What we're doing is because we're trying to leave the satanic model of the United States, controlled by the CIA, working with Mossad, working with the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and all this stuff, because we're trying to leave that satanic model, these guys are flipping out. They're absolutely flipping out. And see, Trump actually is trying to drain the swamp. The problem is, he also put a bunch of swamp critters in there when he took office by, I guess, trying to figure out who his enemies were and who his friends were, you know, including his own son-in-law, Kushner, that we talked about back in February on your show, that was basically a Kabbalist and was part of the Shabbat sect, which works closely with Mossad. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, Doug. And the
we
broke that on your show back in February, and I was getting all these letters. You don't know that, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I know that too. I've got 25 different sources that are from reputable sources that are telling us that. And now everybody knows it's true. In fact, I've got a good friend of mine. He wrote a thing about the artificial intelligence that we talked about. He's got it getting it posted on another website. Once it gets posted there for a little bit, we'll post it on your site, Doug, with his permission. And it's talking about artificial intelligence. And I want to read you part of what he said. He goes, "The goal of AI is control using an artificially intelligent, omniscient, omnipresent on Earth, deep machine learning autonomous system, constantly being fed big data, enabled through the 5G wireless technology, currently being deployed and connected devices that will activate the Internet of All Things." We talked about this on your show. "And this includes you. Note, the Internet of Things has already been part of the popular vernacular for a while and generally referred to as the connectivity of inanimate objects. As will be mentioned herein, with the current deployment and beta testing of 5G wireless systems replacing 4G systems, everything containing an RFID chip or other device designed for connectivity will be connected to the Internet. Some of these devices even are nanoparticles that have been dispersed by various means into our atmosphere that we've all inhaled and retained in our brains and in our central nervous system." I'm adding some stuff to this. "So you are ready to have a means inside of you. The only thing missing is the 5G system to complete the connection. The integration. Assimilation methods are well advanced, having been developed in the background for military and other high purposes and having been scaled up and field tested on battlefield to receive the data necessary to bring this to fruition. All that is lacking is a means to reliably and effectively link all of these devices to the assimilation system that will be the 5G system. Integration will occur as the 5G wireless systems are deployed and placed into service. The goal is continuous, reliable, high-bandwidth, full-time coverage worldwide. Commercial satellites are already being built and deployed for 5G. It has already been reported that cellular phone hardware technology has peaked, and the next advance will be embedded cell phones inside of your hand or wrist. The game changer in all of this has been the development of called adiabatic quantum computers, which is also known as a D-wave computer. And this group of elite people that are developing this computer will welcome the AI control. As full-scale high-speed connectivity is achieved, virtually all electronic devices and people will be connected into the sentient world simulation that has already been in place for over 10 years. The sentient world simulation has been utilized in war gaming and predictive analysis. Such systems, and likely others, are cross-connected through the D-Wave computer, will literally be the heartbeat of the AI control system. Robotics and autonomous software systems replace many physical and professional jobs performed by humans. Anyone who operates any type of moving object, car, truck, bus, train, plane, heavy construction equipment will eventually be replaced by robotics and autonomous systems. This is one of the reasons that they've allowed about 20%, according to some studies, Doug, of our workforce to come out of work due to opiate addiction. About 20% of the total workforce in the United States is addicted to opiates. Professionals are equally at risk because the AI systems produce highly accurate results that the programmers can neither explain nor replicate. The president of Carnegie Mellon University recently predicted that up to 40% of the jobs would be replaced. The future is impossible to predict, but folks in the UN already know and are planning what's best for all of us. They published their plan of the UN 2030 agenda. What else is to be done will be enhanced humans. They've been biochipped artificially, enhanced and connected to the hive mind to perform, as well as transhumans who have reached 2.0 or beyond. Elon Musk has been said that we will be relegated to the level of a house cat, and that inevitability, this fate, can only be averted by connection to the hive mind using his neural lace. CERN has been discussed extensively and is itself as part of the D-Wave computer system and the single largest consumer of internet bandwidth as its data transfers to and from its research partners' facilities worldwide. It is also being tied directly into the space fence that Elena Friedel talks about. From the beginning, the sinful heart of man is to become like God and thus to live eternally. While this totally futile effort, apart from a personal relationship with Christ, has never stopped man from trying. It goes on to say, the goal of the sentient world simulation is to build a synthetic mirror of the real world with automated continuous calibration with respect to current real-world information such as major events, opinion polls, democratic statistics, economic reports, and shifts and trends. The ability of a synthetic model of the real world to sense, adapt, and react to real events distinguishes the sentient world system from the traditional approach of conducting a simulation to illustrate a phenomenon. And he goes on to say, don't allow yourself to be injected with the RFID chip of any kind. If a neural lace or similar brain enhancement is offered, do not accept it. Those who choose to allow these devices will be placed inside of them or will be irreversibly connected into the hive mind, and in time the AI will take over the control. Even more disturbing is that so-called Christian leaders, Doug, and organizations are coming out and saying that receiving a biochip is not the mark of the beast. If there's any doubt about the biochip being mark of the beast, listen to the man who invented it. Carl Sanders at TrumpetMinistries.net is the electronics engineer that led a team that developed one of the first biochips. Years later, as Carl Sanders came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, realized the significance of that invention, and 25 years ago, he was circulating among Christians, churches, and Christian TV shows, warning that the biochip that he developed was the mark of the beast. AI systems have no morality and no conduct of code. They will lie to you. All they want to do is enslave the people around. And then he thanks a bunch of people in here, including yourself and me, and Steve Quayle and Dane Whittington, for telling the truth. And I'll make that article available to you, your listeners, Doug, as soon as it comes available for public release. But I wanted to share that with you tonight because I thought that was one of the best articles I have ever read on the AI and what these guys are planning on doing to us and how they're integrating. And by the way, the guy who wrote this is one of the top engineers in the United States. And so when he speaks about this stuff, it's his field, Doug.
Is there a timetable on this that they're looking at from that article, or at least peripheral to the or tangential to the article?
Well, what I've read on the timetable is they want the 5G network fully autonomous and up by 2025. That's the timetable. Right. And some say 2023. So I don't know if those are the actual numbers, but considering what they're doing right now, they're in a full-blown panic mode. The Christians who have come together now and put Donald Trump in office, because it's the Christians who did it. I mean, that's who did it. It's not the Democrats. The entire I'm not going to pick on too many Democrats because some of the Democrats claim to be Christians. But the people out there that did this were basically a grassroots movement. And it's not that it's Donald Trump. It's that we've all had enough of this crap. I'm over it, Doug. I am absolutely over it. And we as Christians have to stand for truth. We have to stand for what the Word of God says, and we can't be compromised. I had a friend of mine today. He was asking me if we were going to stay here in Central Florida. I said, absolutely yes. I said, I don't just talk to talk. I walk to talk. I'm prepped. I'm ready to go. And see, that's what people don't get. People don't get the fact that, you know, as Christians, you know, just because you say you're a Christian, does your walk talk louder than your talk talks? I mean, that's an old adage from the 70s that's so true still today. I mean, we've got to be, I remember with Josh Madowell, I believe he said, if you were ever accused of being a Christian in a court of law, is there enough evidence to convict you? I mean, we have to learn to walk in unison as the body of believers. And if we do that, these witches have no authority over us. The only thing they're able to do any of this junk to anybody here, because their God is a God of this world. We're not of this world. But the problem, again, is the problem is greater is the truth is, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The problem being that the Christians don't know who they are in Christ. How many times, Doug, when I talk about the blood of Christ and the power that we have through prayer, through scalar ways, have you told your audience, you guys need to pay really close attention to this because this is really good information. We have to understand who and what we are as Christians, Doug, because if we don't, what ends up happening is we're rendered ineffective. That's why so many churches struggle. That's why so many Christians struggle. That's why so many Christian marriages struggle. Guys, if you're the head of your household, men, listen to me. I'm talking to you right now. If you're married, you should be the head of your household. You should be taking your wife by the hand, your children by the hand, and saying, guys, we're going to pray every morning. Every morning we're going to pray. I pray with my family every single day. I call them the prayer at 7:30 in the morning. I don't care if they want to be in bed, out of bed. It doesn't make any difference to me. They have to be at my prayer line at 7:30. If they don't show up on time, they have to run laps around the house. That's how it works. I mean, yeah. I tell them, this is the most important time of the day. Right now is the most important time of the day. Because guys, listen to me. Your household is your responsibility. God put you there. Now, if you're a single lady, it's your responsibility to do this. If you're a single man, it's still your responsibility to do this. We all have to understand what it means to be a Christian and the responsibility we have when we claim to be a follower of Yeshua. It's so, so, so important, Doug.
I'll say this. I used to believe, even as a Christian, that praying with your wife or your family was not really necessary. In fact, it felt like a weakness. That's how I considered it at one time. But praying together changes the dynamic of the family. It strengthens not just the man but the entire family. And I really would urge everyone, if you're not praying with your wife or your husband, or your family, as a family, if you're not praying together, try it. Do it. It's going to change the dynamic of your family for the better. And I really, ever since I've started doing that, I've noticed a marvelous change. But I had to get to that point where I had to understand.
We all do, Doug. In fact, but remember, don't pray silently, especially with kids, because they don't want to pray. They want to think about their friends. You got to pray out loud. Individually, if we go in a circle, usually Savannah starts it, then Harrison prays, then I pray, then Sharon prays. And we always maintain the continuity of the Spirit. People come to our home and they go, wow, there's such a spirit of peace here. We keep it prayed up all the time. It's so important you pray out loud. Now, what I've also done is I've given my children, I had them look them up and they've written them down themselves, spiritual affirmations they include in their prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will commit my plans unto the Lord. They will succeed. Today is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And they include these spiritual affirmations in their prayer life. And what it does is teaching them how to think that way, if that makes any sense. Because, guys, I've got so many people calling me up and they're all stressed out about this hurricane. And I'm like, guys, it's just a big blow. What's the worst thing that happens? I have to collect some stuff on my insurance? Whatever. I'm prepped. I'm ready to go. It doesn't make any difference. It's just I'm not going to allow that to do this to me and put me in fear. I won't do it, Doug. And see, we have to be that way as Christians. That's why we started this show 2.5 years ago. That's why you started your show so many years ago. I mean, if we were going to walk in fear, we never would have started a talk show. We never would have started a talk show.
Yeah, and I want to make sure people understand. It's there's a difference between respect for danger and realization of danger, versus fear. We're not talking about disrespecting the danger presented by an event or a looming event. We're talking about being paralyzed by fear or succumbing to fear. And there's a distinct difference there. So just so people know that.
Years ago, Doug, I built a concrete, basically a hurricane shelter here at my house. I mean, concrete roof, concrete walls, concrete everything. I built it 20, 25 years ago because I wasn't going to have this conversation with people. I'm not doing that. And I've learned a long time ago it's the preparedness mindset. And I've had preachers argue, gosh, with me and just get mad and pitch little hissy, girly fits. And I'm like, gosh, guys, don't act like this. The ant stores up provisions for the winter, for heaven's sakes. There's no reason that we can't have some food stored, some water stored, self-defense items stored, you know, in a generator with some propane or diesel fuel or gasoline to keep our stuff done. Because we've been in Florida here, we've had to deal with this the entire, I mean, I was born here in 1955. I'm like one of the only people that's actually not a transplant. And we have seen it come and go and come and go and come and go. I mean, we have afternoon thunder showers that have 60 and 70 mile an hour winds. I mean, it's crazy, some of the storms we get down here in Central Florida. But guys,
yeah, I've been down there, and you're right. Yeah, I've seen some of your weather turn on a dime. Yeah, it's crazy.
We have storms that are like toad stranglers. I mean, they're unbelievable, you know. And so we're all just kind of used to it, you know. It's part of living down here. It's kind of like living out west now. You kind of get used to the forest fires. Let me tell you what's going on with the forest fires too. Again, it's part of this weather modification mess they've got going on. The Earth itself, the globe itself, can only house X amount of water globally in the atmosphere. It's just the way it works. More than that, it can't handle. And when you have, let's say you have a billion cubic liters in the atmosphere, which it holds a lot more than that. But let's say that's the number. If you pull, or trillions, is what they dumped all that water in Houston. Let's say you have a trillion liters of water that can be held in the atmosphere at any given time. If they pull it from a certain place to make another place rain 52 inches in a couple of days, it dries out the atmosphere in the other part of the planet. This is what it does. And now they're saying that the storm itself is causing this giant earthquake in Mexico. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's all of this intervention. We talked about the earthquake technology they developed decades ago. We talked about that on your show and what depth these earthquakes take place. I mean, you can go back and go listen to the show I did with you guys a year and a half on that. And see, this is what's going on right now. They're in a full-blown effort to put the United States to her knees. That's what this is right now. A full-blown effort to put the U.S. to her knees. In fact, some of the people are actually saying that China and Russia are about to launch their own yuan-backed gold currency. Now, I've heard that for a long time. I don't know what the research is on that. I've seen some from several reputable sources. But whatever's going on, something big's coming down, because there's no way that it hit us with the earthquakes and the hurricanes and all of this stuff right now, Doug, if something big wasn't going on, if they're not trying to hide something. Because remember, that's what these clowns do. They always want to obfuscate everything. And also remember this. We had, half a million to a million cars that were submerged and trucks that were submerged in Houston. These cars are shot. Right now, in all of these major car companies, they've had a lot of standing inventory of product on the ground they can't sell, and now all of these cars are going to be shipped into Houston to make up for this million car damage they've had. See, these Sabbateans that do this, remember, they own the major New York Stock Exchange corporations, either through actual stock purchases or interlocking directorships. But this is what they've done when we got rid of Glass-Steagall. They've come in and they bought up the New York Stock Exchange. So they increased their profits and make more money from the misery of the people where they damaged. Now, some people are saying that the aid, like FEMA's broke, supposedly after today, FEMA's broke. Now they're saying that they're going to tie FEMA care to the people here in Florida or people in Texas to the new budget deal and the raising of the debt limit. So Trump's going to be hamstrung by that. There's all these different factors that are going on that are trying to do all at once to us in the United States. So we've got to stay frosty right now, Doug. It's so important that everybody realizes that we're in the end times, whether you want to be or not. If you're bored right now, you're not paying attention to what's going on. These guys are in full-blown panic mode. These secret societies right now trying to force their agenda on this planet. What do you think, Doug?
No, you're 100% accurate. And I think you've got Donald Trump, the man. You've got Donald Trump, the movement behind the man. And I think that they are more afraid. Well, they're afraid of both. And, you know, what would you call it? The Alinsky model, I suppose. If you can't defeat them, if you cannot defeat your enemy, you disparage them. And if you can't effectively disparage or discredit them, then you ultimately remove them. You know. So I think we're seeing that process take place, and I think that as well. I do believe that. The more I assess the Trump administration, what I see. I had a saying. I said this earlier in the week, and I'll say it again. Back in 1978, my boss gave me for Christmas a plaque, and I was involved in a project, and I won't get into the story, but the plaque said this: it's hard to remember that your objective, that your initial objective was to drain the swamp when you're up to your butt in alligators, basically. Except the butt was, you know, the biblical, well, the, you know, the you get the idea, right? So, I just find it very interesting that we see everything that we're seeing take place right now. I think is happening. It's a action reaction kind of scenario as opposed to action versus response. I'm not sure if that made sense, but we're seeing a lot of infighting take place within the Beltway, and we're seeing this deep state or the shadow government versus the people who want liberty.
No, that's exactly right. In fact, if you look at the list of GOP politicians who got money from George Soros in 2016, it just came out. Paul Ryan was in it. Jeb Bush was in it. Marco Rubio was in it. John McCain was in it. Lindsey Graham was in it. I mean, yep. No surprises here. I mean,
that's true.
Why would anybody be surprised about this? I mean, George Soros is like, you know, he's a cutout. And I got to say this again. I personally believe, and I believe that it shows clearly with him working with the Bank of England and everything else after he was a Nazi in Nazi Germany, turning in his own Jewish friends. He basically is part of this whole deal as a cutout for the Rothschild banking cartel. Remember, they don't come in and do this stuff themselves. They don't want to do that because they don't want to get hung in the backyard, basically. They did the same thing with J.P. Morgan. They did the same thing with Rockefeller. They did the same thing, you know, with Standard Oil. They did the same thing with Carnegie. They support and they fund these groups of these guys, and they control them because of the money. They tried to do it to Henry Ford. They tried to basically stop funding his cars when they were going to their dealerships with the floor planning, and they decided they were going to basically not allow him to do it unless he gave them control of Ford Motor Company. You can read the stuff he wrote about the international bankers that did this back in the 20s, and he went to his dealers and told them they had to go ahead and find their own funding. But he absolutely loathed the international banking cartel for this for the rest of his life. See, this is what we have to understand. If we don't call these guys out for who and what they are, for being the Sabbatean druids they are, it doesn't help anything, Doug. We have to ask ourselves a question. You know, we decided we were going to let them have a pass because of the Scofield Bible 150 years ago when they started bringing in all of this information about the rapture. Well, quite frankly, the church never taught the rapture before that, the Scofield Bible. And it's not true. We're not going to get raptured out of here before anything bad happens. I mean, good grief, all of the apostles pretty much died a bad death. Christ died a horrible death on the cross. I mean, we had half the population of Europe die of the bubonic plague. Nobody got raptured. I mean, the 100 million who died in World War II, you know, and especially with the Soviets and Stalin, and what happened with the Russian Revolution, none of those guys got raptured. I mean, we've been taught this because what it's done is effectively emasculated or castrated the Christian church into believing it doesn't make any difference what we do. Before it gets bad, we're getting snatched out. That's what they've done to us, Doug, over 150 years of the Scofield Study Bible, especially in the Baptist circles, where I go to a Baptist church, and I won't put up with any of that stuff when I start hearing that stuff from the pulpit. I just walk out because I don't believe this stuff. I know better because, remember, Oxford Press is the one who did this with the Scofield Bible, and they're a Rothschild-controlled organization. That's how subtle these guys are. They did this to us 150 years ago. Now that teaching has worked its way all the way through Christianity, and so many people believe this stuff, and they don't believe that no matter what happens, that anything bad is going to ever happen to them. Why don't you ask the people in Houston how that worked out for them, Doug? Why don't you ask those folks that? Why don't you ask the people that were in the 9/11 towers?
Or the people in the Middle East. Yeah.
Or the people in the Middle East. Or how about the people in Syria? Assad was one of the primary protectors of Christianity in the Middle East. And all of a sudden, they just decided to start bombing him because he don't want to run an oil line, plus some other reasons. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. When you stop and you look at who's running us, it's the secret societies combined with the CIA and their druid, Sabbatean, counterparts. They go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, guys. And so that's kind of like the opening hour, I guess we want to talk about that, because it's so important that you guys understand who's doing this stuff.
Amen. And I think it's a good foundation for the remainder of our time together. I think you've laid it out very well. And I think that people need to understand where we're at. The time is late. The signs are all around us. And it's up to us to look at the signs and to understand what we're seeing. I mean, you know, Ted, some people will look at everything that's taking place and say, well, yeah, earthquakes happen, hurricanes happen. Yeah, they do. But to the discerning person, the Christian, I believe that we should be looking at these as signs of the times. And certainly, yeah.
But also remember, Doug, a lot of people are providentialists. They believe in the providence of God, and that no matter what happens, good or bad, that it's God's will. That's simply not true. That's not true. God's not a child abuser. He doesn't hurt his kids. Right. He doesn't do. I mean, if a person comes down with cancer, it was not God's will. Maybe it's because you ate too many hydrogenated oils and trans fats and ate too much pork that he told you not to eat in the Old Testament. And also, you know, you weren't obedient to his dietary guidelines. I mean, we've talked about that in depth on your show. I mean, you can eat all the pork you want to eat and get to heaven. You should probably get there a lot quicker, you know, as a Christian. But the point is, maybe you didn't listen to what he said in his word. I had a friend of mine years ago. I knew this kid. I mean, I basically helped raise him with Austin. And he was in my workout area that we have here at the house one day, working out with me in Austin. And he had told us he wasn't going to immunize his little girl. Well, then he told us in the workout that he decided he was going to go ahead and give her all 76 immunizations. And I asked him, I said, why are you doing this? And he goes, well, because we can't get a pediatrician as a doctor to work with us unless we do that. And we know, we've covered this on your show, that if a pediatrician has 100 patients who basically are fully immunized, that Blue Cross Blue Shield gives them a $40,000 bonus at the end of the year. If he has 200 patients that are fully immunized, he gets another $40,000, he gets an $80,000 bonus. So a lot of pediatricians, for various reasons, have decided that they're not going to accept people into their offices who don't immunize their children. Okay. Now, so what I told him, I said, let's call him Bob. His name's not Bob, I'm going to call him Bob. And I said, I tell you what, Bob, here's what I'll do. I've known you for almost 20 years. I said, I'm going to go ahead and pay all of your doctor's visits with a doctor who doesn't believe in immunizations, a medical doctor. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I'll pay for all of the visits for your child, all the wellness checks. I'll pay them if you'll please do me a favor and reevaluate immunizing your child. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, you mean you'll pay all my medical bills for my child? And I said, I just told you that. I said, I'll do that. I said, what's it going to cost? I mean, the guy charges $50. You go in there a couple times a year. It's $100 a year. I mean, it's worth that to me as you're my friend. It's good. And he goes, okay, well, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, I just took your excuse away. You don't have an excuse anymore. He goes, well, I don't want to do that. I said, oh, so that wasn't the excuse. And he goes, look, here's the thing. No, Doug, this is a true story. I mean, I lost it with this kid. And I said to him, I said, well, so I don't understand. Why do you want to do this? He goes, well, here's how I look at it, Ted. If my little girl comes down with autism, or she comes down with a learning disorder, or she dies from the immunizations, I believe that's God's will. He said that, Doug. And wow. I looked at him, and I said, you're talking providentialism. And I said, you're believing that everything that happens to you, no matter what it is, good or bad, is God's responsibility. He did this to you. And he goes, yes, I believe that. I said, well, that's ridiculous. I said, God's not a child abuser. He's not going to give your little girl autism or kill her with immunizations. That's not his plan. And he sent people out here like me and a whole bunch of other medical professionals that know what mercury does and what knows they know what aluminum does, and they're warning people to really evaluate what they want to do with these kids and make a decision based on informed information, not upon hype and not upon being pressured by the pediatrician. And he looked at me and goes, well, I just believe that. And so I said to him, I said, so you believe if I walk out and I step in front of a semi truck and I intentionally kill myself, it was God's will? And he goes, yeah, I do. And I lost it with him. I started fussing, had to repent later. Lost it with him. And I said, this is ridiculous. I said, this is some of the weirdest teaching I've ever heard in my whole life. You're a total providentialist. And I said, it doesn't work like that. God is not a child abuser. He doesn't want your child to come down with autism or a learning disability or die from sudden infant crib death because of immunizations. That's not his intent. He's very clear in the word as that he wants you to be healthy and live long and prosper. And the kid couldn't get it. Could not get it. Finally, it comes down that his in-laws and his mother-in-law and his mom and a bunch of other people in his family wanted him to immunize, including his wife, and he capitulated, and that's why he did it. This is the thing that I always tell people before they get married. Talk to your spouse, your future bride or your future husband, and ask them some very sincere questions like, hey, do you know what geoengineering is? No, I don't. Well, let me show you what that means. And explain it to them. And they go, oh, well, that's interesting. Let me learn more about it. Okay, how about, what do you want to do as far as immunizations with the kids if we have children? Well, I'm diametrically opposed to immunizations, or I'm diametrically for them. I actually want those. So you got to ask yourself these questions before you step into a marriage with someone. Very, very important, guys. If you're dating somebody right now, that you don't pretend like you don't know all of this information, that you tell the person what this information is to see if they're going to receive it. Because it's like this. If you believe in vitamins and supplements and staying healthy and eating clean and eating organic, and this person you're engaged to does not, when you get married, what's going to happen with that deal? Are they going to change over and want to eat clean, or are they going to want to bring a bunch of junk food in the house all the time and gain a pound a month for 10 years and end up being 120 pounds heavier than they were in 10 years than you met them and you married them? I've seen it over and – no, I've seen it, Doug. I've seen it.
I know.
I went to my high school reunion, and a bunch of the real hot girls in 10th year anniversary, they weighed 120 pounds when they were in high school. They were basically 250 pounds when they came to the 10th year reunion because they eat junk all the time. So ask yourself a question. Where do you want to be with a person that you're planning on getting married to? Because, guys, I promise you, I have met so many people that are in marriages they wish they weren't in. And as Christians, we're committed to those marriages until death do us part. So it's one of those things. You better make sure you want to be in it before you say, I do. What do you think, Doug?
No, you are 100% accurate. And I love it because I think everyone who is, and I know people who are out there ready to be married, or preparing for marriage, you better talk this out before. You really need to do that. Ted, hold on to that thought. We're up against the network break. We're talking with Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. And hey, by the way, the coupon code Doug5. That's Doug5 is the coupon code. Healthmasters.com. Dr. Ted Brower, going to be back. Give us 3 minutes. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.